I've been looking forward to this song all night because it's my favorite one off the album, and it's written by John Hiatt, called Girl on a String.
Ellie's got her going up and down like a yo-yo, and she never feels better than ever, just so-so. Like a shrunken head on a rearview mirror, she rides along in his atmosphere like a furry dice or some voodoo thing. He's got that girl on a string, a girl on a string.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Perfectly Good Podcast, the only podcast on the internet that is counting every John Hiatt song down in alphabetical order. I'm going to warn you guys, this is going to be a Buffy ride. We're
but
recording.
Worth it.
As we've talked about before, we record in advance because in case something goes wrong, we don't miss our schedule. So as we're recording this, it's March 27th. So this, in the past 7 days, Friday night, I saw Lily Hiatt for the first time. Ran into Eric Nadell, who is the voice of the Texas Rangers, world champion Texas Rangers, by the way. He said, I talked to him, sent him a card. He emailed me on Saturday, says, hey, let's be on your podcast. So I interviewed Eric on Sunday night. Early last week or something, when we got Girl on a String, we had the Gail Davies cover. I found her website, went to her contact information, and step in anytime.
You're doing great.
Saying, hey, we'd love to talk to her. They got back and said, yes, she would love to talk to you. I emailed her. She is in her 70s. She was very clear. I don't want to do Zoom. I don't anything. Can you just call me? So I'm trying to figure that out. And then on Monday, I got an email saying, hey, Jesse, it looks like you are going to be able to interview Don McLean. Yes, that Don McLean. He can do it on Tuesday if you're ready. By the way, he doesn't like to use video Zoom either, but I convinced him to let me just do Zoom. So last night, I recorded Don McLean, edited it, released it today. I called Gail Davies, who is the person who covered the Girl on a String. And if you don't know who she is, which I did not, she is a fascinating history. I just spent 30 minutes talking to her. We recorded that conversation. Then I called Sylvan and I said, oh, by the way, I haven't listened to our this week's songs. Holy shit.
I like to tease my brother and Hiatt that there are passions and then there are problems, and maybe having all these podcasts, he might be over a line, but I'm not gonna say you're over the line until we get to Zero House, because we have signed on to this.
Yeah,
but yeah, those are called nice problems to have. What blessings.
Yes,
we have had.
So yeah. What's going to be great is Sylvan was kind enough to say, okay, send me Gail's interview. Mm-hmm. I will listen to it. It's only about 30 minutes. You go listen to the songs and we'll come back. So that's where we are. So we are going to talk Girl on a String. And then sooner or later, we got to talk about watching Lily live. But let's stay on target, Jesse. Let's talk about Girl on a String. Sylvan, do you have some facts for us?
Absolutely. So just the facts very quickly. Girl on a String was track number 3 on John's album, Riding with the King. It's the 4th song that we've discussed from this album. We have discussed before how that album was split into 2 with 2 different producers. Side A was produced by Ron Nagel and Scott Matthews, and this is from that side. It was the second album for Geffen Records, and it was released in April 1984. Hard to believe that math actually does work out. That was 40 years ago. And as you were saying, Jesse, we always go out searching for covers, and I wasn't sure what I was going to find. But there was this wonderful video of this beautiful woman who introduced it by talking about what a great song it was and how talented John Hiatt was. And I loved the version. And I said, I have to share this all on its own. I'm not going to hide it in a playlist. So I put it up on the John Hiatt fans Facebook page and shared it. And one thing led to another. And lucky you got to actually have a lovely conversation with Gail Davies. That cover was officially released by Gail Davies and the Wild Choir. Excellent band name, by the way. And I hope it's okay to share her real name, Patricia Gail Dickerson. And as you said, very accomplished songwriter. Her first album or first single was 1974. So she's literally been releasing music as long as John has, still doing it, and just amazingly connected. A lot of artists in common with John. And you and I both admit our ignorance when we err into the side of country music. So I was not very familiar with her, but I loved her version, and it was really fun digging into some of her history and that whole Nashville scene that John was around and a part of. So I think that covers just the facts for Girl on a String.
Yes, I'm going to insert here. I will end up putting the whole interview out as a separate feed on both Setlist and Bruce and Perfectly Good Podcast. But I will, since as you want to, I will insert here her story of how she met John. And after that story, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
And then I did get a recording contract and started working as an artist, which I love. And by the way, getting back to John Hyatt, I met John right after he moved to town. His wife had just died, and we ran into each other at an ice cream parlor here in Nashville. I had my little boy, Chris Scruggs, who's also an artist and known musician, and he had his little girl, Lily, and we all got together and had ice cream. And that's how I met John Hyatt.
All right, and we're back. Now I want to go get ice cream with John and Lily.
Time he's in Vermont, he talks about Ben and Jerry's, and I've tried to figure out a way to bring him a pint of Chubby Hubby or something. I still haven't figured that out. Yeah.
I am so excited. Doctor Who, their fandom, there is a phrase that blank is my doctor. It's not my favorite doctor or my favorite, like you'd say, my favorite Star Trek captain or my favorite rock band. It's my doctor. There is a personal connection to it. Riding with the King is my intro to truly loving John.
Got
I've
it.
talked about this in the past that before that CD, I listened because Linda liked to listen to it and to be happy. But when I got this CD, I was outside sales at the time, so I was in my car listening to music a lot, and I kept the CD on repeat. I just love the CD. I'm always thrilled when we get a chance to talk about a song from that release. And I think this is a good one to discuss. I think it is a really interesting story, and I can't wait to talk about it. How about you? Any quick thoughts, Sylvan?
Yeah, and I think we do need to keep in mind that it was a 40-year-old song. I did not mention this in Just the Facts because I have not been able to verify it, but I am certain I have a live version where John introduces this song by dedicating it to the United States Congress and very ironically saying that this is to them for not passing the Equal Rights Amendment, which I was just trying to work my way backwards of like how many times did the Equal Rights Amendment fail Congress and what year would that have been? I could not find that recording, but I do know it exists somewhere. And when we talk about the sexes being unequal and problems that exist between the sexes, be they micro or macro, the idea of abusive relationships and how we as a society respond to that. it can be a little strange looking 40 years in the rear view and saying how much has changed, how much has not changed. There's definitely that aspect. And then there's the aspect of at this point in John's life, he was married to a woman that he would later become separated for, and he talks about making some really bad decisions in that relationship. There's a little bit of, can you look in the mirror and point that kind of accusing finger the same way? All that being said, it's a great song in the great tradition of characters who are larger than life and tell the story of something that's going wrong societally or in any relationship, but specifically this relationship that is very moving and I think can make a big difference. I can imagine a woman hearing this song and deciding to change her life because all of a sudden she realizes I don't want to be the girl on the string that John describes.
Yeah, and so to circle back, Gail specifically had comments about why she picked the song and certain lyrics. And so we're going to insert them after the fact. So it isn't that Sylvan and I aren't going to comment on what she says, just neither one of us will actually know at this point what we're going to insert. But I do remember she said something along the lines that when she heard this, she felt like it was a lot of her career because she always felt like men were pulling her strings. That
That's an
little
excellent
clip.
point because I think the song is talking about a domestic situation, but it's a perfect metaphor for Congress, for the music business, for any business.
Absolutely. All right.
I met John Hiatt. I didn't really know very much about him because, like I said, he just moved to town. But then when Pete Pendris and I produced the Wildchoir album for RCA, he and I started looking through songs, and Girl on a String came up, and I went, oh, God, that's a perfect song because it epitomized what I had gone through as like being the little girl that was being dragged around town. That's how I got involved with John Hiatt.
So start the lyrics, Sylvan, because I cannot wait to break these down.
Okay. He's got her going up and down like a yo-yo, and she never feels better than ever, just so-so. Like a shrunken head on a rearview mirror, she rides along in his atmosphere like furry dice or some voodoo thing. He's got that girl on a string. So, what does that evoke for you, Jesse?
So this is very much she is a possession, and she is a plaything, and you almost get the feeling, no apologies, no insult meant, but more of a Sid than an Andy in the Toy Story world, right?
Okay.
That, and I think it is the setup. And the beauty of this song to me is if you aren't paying attention to the lyrics, this is a catchy little pop song. Girl on a
Yes.
string, just a little boy, a girl on a string. You're just singing along because
Yeah,
it's a
in
catchy
almost a
chorus.
demented kind of melody
Yeah.
of way too fun
Yeah.
and circus. And yeah, exactly. And that version I was referring to that I could not find, he also talked about a original idea for the song being much more melancholy and fitting what he's talking about stylistically and musically. And I think this was the much better choice to record it as an upbeat, tap your toe, everything is fine here lyric.
Yeah.
And I also have always loved the line, she never feels better than ever, just so-so. And that is a hallmark of abusive relationships. Abusers know what they can't push past. They will make someone unhappy, but not so unhappy
Right.
that they actually get up and leave. And the idea of not having control, riding along in his atmosphere. And yeah, it's so well described and it's so tragic, but you're also just smiling at it.
Yeah, this is, you're in someone's orbit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you're, the joke is, it's his world, and we're all just living in it. And I also love that lyric, she never feels better than ever, just so-so. Mm-hmm. She's never incredibly happy.
Mm-hmm.
She's also maybe never physically 100%. You can mm-hmm. read that in there too. Just a really strong start to the song.
Yeah.
Next verse?
Sure. Okay. Your turn to read.
Yeah. So, by the way, we're going to get through these, and then after Sylvan and I discuss, I'm going to insert her thoughts. And I remember some of these, Gail's thoughts, and we will talk about them before, but you guys will hear it. She corrected me doing a lyric, and I felt like I was talking to Sylvan. I felt at home.
Okay. It starts up, he's got her going up and down like a yo, and she never feels better than ever, just so-so. Like a shrunken head on a rearview mirror, she rides along in his atmosphere like furry dice or some voodoo thing. He's got that girl on a string.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah. This feels she's a thing. She is not his partner. This isn't his companion. This is just property, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She's establishing that right from the top. She's just property.
Yeah. And then John can be so clever in his lyrics. And since they tied the knot, he keeps her in stitches. And when she ain't banged up, she's sewing his britches. Like a line between the... Go ahead.
I think it's when she ain't bound up.
Yeah. Since they tied the knot, he keeps her in stitches. And when she ain't banged up, she's sewing his britches. Gail says it's not banged up. And Sylvan and I double checked, and according to the lyrics it is, but yeah.
And I totally give her due that perhaps when she recorded it,
yeah,
she said had a different draft, and that was the draft she sang. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a line between the orange juice cans, she strung out on his childish demands to meet him out by the backyard swing. He got that girl on a string. One clip you'll hear in just a minute. She actually called John and asked him a question.
I had to call John about the line between the orange juice cans. He says two kids, little kids talking on orange juice cans that are connected by a string. Used to do that when you were a kid. Like
sure.
The line between the orange juice cans. She strung out on his childish demands to meet him out by the backyard swing. It's just so immature.
I love the dynamics of mm-hmm. since they tied the knot, he keeps her in stitches, not stitches, right? But mm-hmm. not as in laughter,
mm-hmm.
stitches, but no, tied up. And when she ain't banged up, she's sewing his britches.
Yeah.
So not only is she physically abused, but she's having to do the sad but yet iconic moments of Urban Cowboy is when the bad guy shows up and says, is talking Debra Winger and fix me something to eat after he was so abusive. So you can just see that when she ain't banged up, she's sewing his britches. You mm-hmm. can see even after he hurts her,
she's
and I guess
taking care of him and serving
and
him,
even though he is the one that's abusing her, he is the one doing this, he still expects her to wait on him, to take care mm-hmm. of him. And then it's this, she's strung out on his childish demands to meet him out by the backyard swing. You can almost see, what's wrong? Let's go out in the porch.
Yeah.
You know,
honey, where's my lovin'? Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yeah. Let's go. That was last night. Let's go sit down. Why haven't we moved on?
Yeah, this is John at his clever best. This is when he talks about being enamored with a phrase. When you were just saying, keeping her in stitches, laughter, oh, no, not that kind of stitches. And that just makes it all the more heartbreaking that you have that positive image ripped away from you in a breath. That he is painting an absolutely devastating picture here in a way few has. Like, a country singer can talk about a woman in a shelter or having a black eye. This is that and then some, because he's not just mentioning that she is physically abused. This is really describing the emotional abuse in the way that is most damaging, and that you can't escape it, that she is having to play Dollhouse, Ibsen's play, that she's just the pretty thing and he can abuse her all he wants, and it's her job to make him happy despite that, and it doesn't matter what her happiness is.
Yeah. Do you want to do the chorus?
Sure. Girl on a string, just a little play toy. Girl on a string, for a little bad boy. Girl on a string, he's dragging her around. Girl on a string, he's tying her down. And once again, we're playing with these cliches and phrases of tying down, being dragged, and the little bad boy is pretty telling that, oh, boys will be boys, or Warren Zevon's excitable boy, those kind of excusing bad behavior with a gender.
And there's also the cliche of someone liking a bad boy. Do you want the sweet
rebel
vanilla
with a cause
type hero? Yeah, but or that bad boy. I like the someone on the wild side of life. Hopefully, partly to redeem him, partly because you like the little bit of danger. And chorus is so memorable and so fun to sing along with, right? While you're gunning it on. And when I've gone this far, I'm having a Jones fit that, you know, Born in the USA. It is fun to scream, Born in the USA. And which, without understanding the context of the song.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's stressing the same thing, that she's caught up in his atmosphere. She is treated like a possession, and he's tying her down. She is forcibly attached to him, either physically, emotionally, financially, however it is, and it makes for a perfect segue to the next verse, where she carries his baby straddled on her hip bone. And there's another on the way. Just wait till they get home. The deeper into darkness they get, the more she sees the silhouette of a girl who wanted pretty things, not that girl on a string. That's heartbreaking, Sylvan.
It is. She's lost herself. And what can be more heartbreaking than that? We can lose our possessions. We can lose our job. We can lose someone we love. But to lose our sense of self.
Yeah.
And to feel like you disappear, it's absolutely heartbreaking.
That's what he was saying with him. But if you're in a bad relationship and you get pregnant again, you're just digging yourself deeper in the hole. And that's the point he's trying to make. It's not the second child. It's just the old country saying, barefoot pregnant and in the vocal booth, is what Leland Sklar used to say when Gail Davis moved to Nashville. Women were still barefoot pregnant and in the vocal booth. Instead of barefoot pregnant in the kitchen. So it's just another way to keep control of you. You can't, I wrote in a song one time, my book, my autobiography, and I wrote about with a lot of children back in the day before birth control. If you had a lot of children, mama didn't leave home. She stayed pretty close to the fire. And that's the thing that he's trying to say there, is she just keeps getting deeper and deeper into the darkness she gets. The more she sees that silhouette of a girl who wanted pretty things. So she's losing control of herself.
And she's already got a kid, and there's another one on the way. Just wait till they get home. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Georgia Ray. Should have been sleeping. Something came creeping. A love brought you here. And that song, it is very clear. Love brought this here. And this is
manipulation.
Yes. I'm especially taken by the more she sees the silhouette of a girl who wanted pretty things. She can't see that image totally of herself.
It's not a real thing anymore. It's a black and white cutout, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is a shadow of her former self, because a silhouette is literally a shadow. And
great
it is,
rhyme there, Mr. Hyatt.
Yes.
It works perfectly.
Yeah. And I stitches and britches. It's just, yeah. Yeah. And it is.
And I love how conversational it seems. This is not a song that it feels like you are really reaching to make the words work. It feels like he is telling you the story of this person that he feels so sorry for. And oh, it just happens to be in meter and AABB rhyme scheme. Yeah.
Yeah. I do not have a lot of experience with hip hop and just not my genre, but hip hop artists that are gifted in that. I did spend a little bit of time on the Hamilton bandwagon, and Lin Manuel just in an interview, just off the top of his hand, just starts freestyling and just everything, the story makes sense and it's all rapping. I've seen other people that where you can see the artist is able to think in that way. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of that, that it works musically. It works, as you said, the rhymes work, the rhythm works. It flows a very simple story. That's a very sad story.
It is a very sad story.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes me think about genre. And Gail Davies, I was not very familiar with because I have not tipped my toe very much into the country world. And I would say that she feels very welcome. And I loved what she was talking about with Americana and where that goes back in 1984. Americana, no one would have known what you were talking about, but you certainly would have heard, I'm sure, someone saying, oh, I can make a country hit out of that. I just need to tweak this and that. And so I find it really interesting that the old joke of what do you get when you play a country record backwards, you get your house back, you get your wife back, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's that idea of a tragedy is what makes a country song in a particular way that a blues song doesn't quite. So I wonder if John sat down thinking this is going to be a country song, and then he had his little rock outfit and it took a different turn, or if people could just see those bones and put the country on top of it.
Yeah. And in the clip of her singing the song, Gail Davies, she said, I was looking forward to this, my favorite song on the album. And she gives John a wonderful shout out. And they do a great rocking version of it. They do a really good version. And that's why we were in. If you do a lot of John Hyatt covers, if you're afraid we're going to go look for you, we normally don't. Though we will certainly welcome you calling us and reaching out for either one of us to share, hey, I did a Hyatt cover and I'd love to join you to talk about it.
Yeah, I'll be shameless about asking. Just know that we don't take offense when people say no.
Yeah, exactly. We don't. Yeah. So I just was, as I said, I was so happy to spend some more time with this song. I always love spending time with this album. Any other final thoughts?
Just that, again, not to be embarrassing her by talking so much about Gail and her version, but I really think it was great to have a woman singing it too, because you could get into the it's just John trying to be the white knight hero kind of situation. I think she proved that a woman could sing this and have it be just as impactful and make sense in the way that this is everybody's problem. We should all be speaking up about this.
Yeah. And just once again, Gail was just not comfortable being on Zoom and doing this. So that's why we did separate, because we were actually hoping to get her in this conversation. And knowing her, she might have been embarrassed how much we're talking wonderfully about her. So I guess time for rating, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yes. I can't remember if it's me or you first, so I will go first. I don't think it's a 5-star song. And I think because those are rare atmosphere songs. And I could see if someone made the argument 3 is this perfectly good. Like it's like on your performance appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be happy, sad you got a 3. A 3 means you meet the standards. No one wants to just be 3's not average, it meets the standards. But I am going to give this higher than that. I'm going to give it a 4. I think that because of the, I think the, how clever the lyrics are, how catchy the song is, and the dichotomy between the two of the happy music and the dark lyrics. If I did half, I'd probably do a 3.5. But since the rules are you can't, this is a 4 to me.
Okay. All understood.
Notice how I get the half in, even though it isn't officially. I'm waiting for you to call me on that.
I am just still a little amazed that I had the power to get you to stop using half points with my shame alone. And so I'm going to say everything you said and land at a 3, because this to me is a very good song, but we're judging John Hiatt songs. And I think if John were writing this song in 2024, he could make a 5-star song out of these ideas and these rhymes. I don't know how exactly, but for some reason, while I was listening to it, I was thinking of Wicked Grin and thinking just how emotionally impactful that is. This is emotionally impactful, but it's almost a little bit too direct of a shot, where I think you can make it an even stronger song by coming around another way. But these characters are real. These are right out of a Raymond Carver novel or something like that. You can't say that isn't an amazing feat in songwriting, to get that kind of vivid past, present, and future between real, larger than life people in 3 verses and a catchy chorus. But we're judging on a John Hiatt scale, so this is a very good song, and that makes it a 3.
I'm not asking you to change your vote at all, because we don't do that on this show. But I will say, I think part of the reason why it becomes a 4 to me is in context of where he is in his journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe if this was a song that was on a song after the trilogy, that's a 3. You could do better. But I think that before this, I think this is an early example of, relatively speaking, his career, that he's really knocking it out of the park. And so therefore, it's a 4.
Ugh.
We want to give a special thank you to Gail Davies. She does have a website. She is very active on her Facebook page. You can order her autobiography on her website. She still performs.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to reading her autobiography. That sounds like great fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will add this little snippet that she talks about some of the people she's worked with. And she gives this kind of at the end when she talks about performing. I will not give it away, but she gives a name drop of a name drop that both Sylvan and I were like, okay, that's pretty cool.
I think I worked with just about everybody in the business. From Frank Zappa tried to get me to go on the road singing with him. I worked with Roger Miller. I've been in the studio with John Lennon. I have just been so fortunate through the years to be able to know so many wonderful artists. And of course, my brother, to me, being the foremost of them all, Ron Davies.
Yeah.
Who would I work with? I'd love to spend some time with Paul McCartney. And who else would?
Sure. Yeah.
I can't really think of anybody other than maybe Paul.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And
I don't think anyone had Roger Miller and Frank Zappa on the same bingo card. Good for you bringing them up. That's amazing.
Yeah. I was singing in the Troubadour with a group called the Midnight Band, and Roger came in and saw me and just said, I want you, go on the road with me. And his background singer had just quit. So I said, yeah, I would do a few dates with him because I was just such a fan. And then a couple weeks later, Frank Zappa came into the Troubadour and he saw me and tried to get me to, I went to a rehearsal with him to front the, it wasn't any longer the Mothers of Invention, but it was Zappa. He was doing a European tour and wanted me to front his band. And I went to the rehearsal just because I was curious. And he was just so much fun to be around. But then I told him I'd already committed to working with Roger Miller. So, yeah, I've had quite an eclectic involvement of people in my life. And I've had a really good life. I'm 76 years old on June 5th, and I'm going up to Seattle to play a show at a winery that seats about 80 to 100 people. So I do go out and play every once in a while to Bluebird here in Nashville, and sometimes I did the Grand Ole Opry. Emmy Lou calls me every once in a while. You want to do the Opry with me? And we go do duet songs and hang out together. But other than that, I'm not really out there touring or anything, but I'm still having fun with the music.
All right, Sylvan, if someone wants to reach you, how can they?
They can find the Perfectly Good Podcast Facebook page where Jesse and I both monitor. They can send an email to perfectlygoodpodcast@gmail.com. I am Sylvan Groth on Facebook, and I am Sylvan Green Eyes on X. We have not created a Perfectly Good Podcast on X yet, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. We might. I'll have to look. Perfectly Good PD, I think, maybe, at Perfectly Good P.
See, that shows how much we're monitoring it.
Yes,
sorry,
exactly.
Guys.
Yeah. In fact, I do think there is a Perfectly Good PD on X. I'll have to look. Yeah, I am at Jesse Jackson DFW on Twitter, aka X. I am also on Facebook, Jesse Jackson. I've already talked enough about Setlusting Bruce, so we will not discuss that any further. I do, though, a couple weeks ago in real time, which will be like a month for you guys when you actually hear this, my two friends, Lou slash Karen, joined me, and we did a whole discussion on the We Are the World documentary that I was pretty proud about. So you guys might want to check that out. All right, Girl on a String, we are in the G's. We are having fun. And come back next week. We'll have another song. And who knows what kind of stories we're going to tell. Thank you so much.
Or what kind of guests we're going to
pull. Yeah. So
don't forget to sign up.
Yeah.
And look at our upcoming song list and see where you want to insert yourself.
Absolutely. I forgot to tell her to have a little faith.
So we're telling her now.
Yes.
Have a little faith.
Have a little faith. Bye.
Bye.
Well, it's got her going up and down like a yo-yo. And she never feels better than ever, just so-so. Like a shrunken head on a rearview mirror, she rides along in his atmosphere like paradise or some voodoo thing. He's got that girl on a string, girl on a string. Tied the knot, he keeps her in stitches. When she ain't banged up, she's sewing his riches. Like the line between the orange juice can, she's strung out on his childish demands to meet him out by the back. Baby, we can come on.